Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Most assuredly, if you seek my word, you will never die. What a promise! If you seek the word of God, you will not die. If you seek the word of Jesus, you will not die. You can see how Jesus now is up in the ante with them. It's as if Jesus is saying, you're upset with me already? Here, let me give you something else to be upset about.
Who was Jesus to assure people that they could live forever because of him? Who could possibly make that claim and have that power? Only one, the Messiah, could make such a promise. We are looking at what it means to believe the promises of God and to be a believer of Jesus. With more out of John chapter 8, verses 37 through 59, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The Lord appears to Abraham with two angels, and Abraham receives him. And when he sits down, he says, when I come back by this way next year, your wife's going to have a child. Sarah at this point is 89 years old. The name Isaac is laughter. That's what the name Isaac means. So when she finally had a child at 90, Abraham being 100, the Bible says that Abraham didn't consider the deadness of his body. I don't think I need to be too specific of what Abraham means by the deadness of his body. He didn't even consider the deadness of his body to be a barrier to God allowing them to have a child. And God has made the descendants of Abraham like the stars of the sea and the sand of the shore. So they are in a hostile conversation with Jesus, and they're claiming that they are descendants of Abraham, so they are okay. So Jesus picks it up in verse 37 of chapter 8 of the book of John. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Jesus acquiesces to them. You are Abraham's descendants. You're Jewish. All Jewish people are physical descendants of Abraham. He says, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have done with your father. Jesus is introducing this idea that you are really not a descendant of Abraham if you don't believe. Yes, we know that they're descendants genetically. But the most important thing isn't genetically, it's spiritual, because that gives you eternity when we are descendants of Abraham because we believe. So he says, you are descendants of Abraham, however you seek to kill me, and therefore you have a different father. Spiritually, they don't have the father Abraham like you and I do now. They have a different father. In other words, they are claiming that their descendant is Abraham, but Abraham received the Lord. And in the Old Testament, whenever God appears, it's a Christophany. This is a theological term. It's a Christ appearance. That's what theophany means. Christ appearance. A Christ appearance in the Old Testament. So whenever God appeared to Gideon, to Joshua, to Abraham, when the Lord appeared to them, wrestling with Jacob, it was a Christophany in the Old Testament. So when the Lord appeared to Abraham, Abraham received him. He didn't want to kill them. So he's saying, you say you're the descendants of Abraham, but Abraham didn't want to kill me. Do you see his point? Abraham didn't want to kill me. You guys want to kill me. Therefore, you have a different father. Your father is someone entirely different, spiritually. Okay? And so he goes on. He says, their misconception is we have Abraham as our father, therefore we're okay. Jesus says, you have a different father spiritually. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. He said, you want to kill me, you want to do what your father does, and they say Abraham is our father. Jesus once again reiterates. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. The real descendants of Abraham are spiritual. When we do the works of Abraham, we become the children of Abraham, believing by faith. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Jesus is saying, what did I do that you want to kill me? I've done no crime. I've just told you the truth and you want to kill me. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. So again, he points to them. Abraham didn't do this. You want to kill me. I didn't do anything wrong. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, and that's God. They up the ante. First of all, they are attacking Jesus personally. That shouldn't surprise us at this point because they've attacked him earlier. This is a hostile, open conversation. There are people in the temple listening to Jesus. Jesus is now having an open debate with the religious leaders and himself. And so they say, we weren't born of fornication. They know, Jesus has been around for 2.5 years now in ministry. They know that Jesus was born in Nazareth to Mary. They know the backstory. They know that she was betrothed to Joseph when she was found to be with child. And when they say, we were not born of fornication, they're denying the supernatural birth of Jesus. And they're claiming that it was from fornication. So they have attacked him personally here. Jesus doesn't step up with them and banter back with them on that personal level. That would be the temptation when you're debating someone and they attack you personally, you want to get back at them, but Jesus continues to make his point. He's not attacking them personally. He's telling them, because you want to kill me, you are now spiritually a descendant of the devil who wants to kill people. That's the point Jesus is making. They up the ante by saying, we are not born of fornication, but our father is God. Now they went one up. They had said before, our father is Abraham. Jesus acquiesced it. Now they're saying, our father is God. We are religious. This brings us to the second misconception. The first we covered last week, which was, if we are descendants of Abraham, we're Jewish, therefore we're going to heaven. We saw how that relates to us today, and that you and I can say, I'm a Christian, I go to Calvary Chapel, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist Costal, which is a cross between a Pentecostal and a Methodist, I'm a Charis Baptist, whatever you are, whatever your background is, that you think you're okay because you've gone to church. But remember, Jesus said to religious people who said, we cast out demons in your name, we did miracles in your name, and Jesus said to them, away from me, for I never knew you. It's not about being Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or Calvary Chapel. It's not bad to be any of those things. But if you don't have a relationship with God, they will not help you at all. They become a misconception. I'm all right because I'm Methodist, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are not okay. Now, their second misconception, I'm a religious person. It's not about their heritage at this point. I'm a religious person. My father is God. That's their second misconception. Jesus is now going to deal with this misconception. So they say, our father is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He's saying to them, if you really belong to God, then you would have received me, the Messiah. But since you have rejected me, it's a sign of who you really are, of what you really believe. Periodically, I'll have someone who will tell me, I know I'm not doing what's right, but I love God. Well, if you love God, then you want to keep his commandments. There's a revelation. I had a gal tell me one time, she was divorcing her husband, and she had already met somebody else. She was divorcing her husband. She saw me at, Chipotle. Don't know why I can't think of certain things, certain times. She saw me at Chipotle. I was by myself, and she came over. She goes, can I sit down and talk with you? I said, sure. So she sat down. She said, I want you to know that I am divorcing my husband. I'm going to marry this other guy, but I want you to know I'm a spiritual woman. It ruined the whole meal. Because I had to say to her, listen, you're not spiritual. You say you are, but what you're doing is not. You can't have it both ways. You can't say I'm spiritual, but I'm doing something that is not right. If you love God, doesn't mean you don't struggle. There's no one who doesn't sin. But if you love God, then you're going to do what's right. That's what these people are doing. We are children of God. but they want to kill Jesus. They want to commit murder. And so Jesus goes on to say in verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil." Now, why does he say that? Listen to what he says. "And the desire of your father you want to do." He's not just insulting them. "You insulted me about my not being born of fornication. Now I'm insulting you. You're of your father, the devil." Now, his point is this. The devil is a murderer. You want to murder me. Therefore, that shows spiritually your father is the devil. If you were of God, you would have received me. What we do ends up revealing to us where we really are. And so he says, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning," that's the end of verse 44, "and does not stand in the truth." The devil is a murderer. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't stand in the truth at all. So they're willing to stand not in the truth, and they want to kill Jesus. That's a revelation of who their real father is, spiritually. It says, "When he speaks a lie," that's the devil, "he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin?" He's saying, "You're attacking me. Tell me what my sin is. What have I done that you guys want to murder me over? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God," that's who they said they were from, "he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not from God." God isn't your father. It's very simple. If you really are from God, if you really are a child of God, the Bible says, "As many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God." If you're a child of God, then God's going to transform you and change you, and you're going to reflect that. You'll want to do the things that God wants to do because you're a child of his. If you don't want to do the things that God wants you to do, then there's a misconception. This is a way for us to evaluate where we are now before we enter into eternity and find ourselves someplace we never thought we could be because we might have some kind of a misconception in our lives. "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Did we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?'" That's just an outright attack. They know he's not a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a cross between someone who was Jewish and part Assyrian and lived in an area called Samaria. The Jews hated Samaritans, and by the way, the Samaritans hated the Jews. It was racism that went both ways. They did not like each other. They lived close to each other. They didn't like each other. And so Jesus told the story, Jesus being a good Jewish boy, told the story of the good Samaritan to shock them. That a Samaritan would do what was right was shocking to them. And so when they call him a Samaritan, they're wanting to insult Jesus. I don't think it insulted him at all. "You have a demon." They're just claiming, you say we're of the father of the devil, you have a demon inside of you. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon." I love that he just responds to it. They say, "If you've got a demon, I don't have a demon. But I honor my father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Jesus uses this opportunity to once again show them whom he is with this grand statement. If anybody seeks my word. By the way, do you see where it says most assuredly? If you have the King James Bible in front of you, it's going to say truly, truly. That's a reference to say, listen, pay very close attention. I'm going to say something that's really important here now. Most assuredly, I say to you. Jesus says that 25 times in the book of John. It's an interesting study to go and look at every time Jesus says truly, truly, or most assuredly. And when he says this here, it's a powerful statement. Most assuredly, if you seek my word, you will never die. What a promise. If you seek the word of God, you will not die. If you seek the word of Jesus, you will not die. You can see how Jesus now is up in the ante with them. It's as if Jesus is saying, you're upset with me already? Here, let me give you something else to be upset about. If you seek my word, you'll never die. To them, they're like, are you kidding me? Who do you think you are? That's what they're saying to him. That's what they're going to say to him. Who do you think you are? If I said to you today, if you believe in my words, you will never die, you guys would go, ooh, Robert's losing it a little bit. Little delusion of grandeur there. Who does he think he is that if we obey the words of Robert, we would never die? I would never even think of saying that to you. But Jesus is saying, if you obey my words, you will never die. Do you see the extent of the grandness of this statement? It's an amazing statement. And it's the truth. If you obey the words of Jesus, you will never die. You will live forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. And even if he does die, meaning this flesh, he will live. We will live in all of eternity with him. That is the reason Jesus came. That is the grandest of all his promises, that we are granted eternal life in him. Well, this doesn't set well with them, right? You can get ready. Verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? Sometimes you ask questions you really don't want the answers to. Jesus is going to tell him who he is. That question by these hostile religious leaders, are you greater than Abraham? All the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. In other words, Jesus is saying, if I say that I am God, if I tell you now I'm God in the flesh, which is whom Jesus is, then it means nothing. Because anybody can say, I'm God. People do. There are delusions with which people think they're God. There are delusions with which people think they're Jesus. I've met them. Over the years, they come into church. They come up and they say, I'm Jesus Christ. Really? Nice to meet you, Jesus. So there's delusions. So Jesus is saying, if I say I am God, it doesn't mean anything. But God the Father has already testified that he is God. Isaiah 7:14, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Malachi 5:2, that's the Italian prophet. Malachi 5:2, just helped you to remember it. Malachi. Malachi 5:2 says, Bethlehem, though you are small among all of the villages, out of you will come a ruler who will rule my people. His days are of old, or literally, from eternity past. The child who was the ruler that was going to be born in Bethlehem would have days that would be from eternity past. The Old Testament taught clearly that the Messiah was going to be God in the flesh. And it's so hard for us to grasp that idea, the idea of the Trinity. It's so difficult. It's for another study. I just want to acknowledge that difficulty as you're sitting here and listening to this. That Jesus is in the flesh and is God. The Father in heaven is God. The Holy Spirit is God. That Jesus is with God. And so he says, if I honor myself, my honor means nothing. If my Father honors me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. It's quite a statement. When did Abraham rejoice to see the day of the Messiah? Two different ideas theologians have. One of them when God said, your seed will bless all nations. That God was giving Abraham a view into the future of the work of the Messiah. And that Abraham rejoiced in that day. Secondly, when the Lord appeared to Abraham and Abraham received him and sat down in the tent doorway and had a conversation with him. He saw Jesus. So Abraham now says to them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. He's blowing their minds now. He's giving them what they think is Now this guy's proving he's insane. Then Jesus says this. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I told you 25 times in John, he says most assuredly. So we know something good's coming, right? Most assuredly, before Abraham was, I am. Who do you make yourself out to be? Before Abraham was, I am. He is not only saying that he was pre-existent, that he existed during the days of Abraham. That's a big statement. But the word I am is the word I am is connected to the name of Jehovah, I am that I am. When Moses at the burning bush said to God, who's speaking to Moses about going back and freeing Israel out of Egypt, says, who should I say sent me? God speaks from the burning bush and says, tell them I am that I am has sent you. Jesus now says, before Abraham was, I am. It's a declaration of deity. It's as direct as you can get without being direct. Without testifying of himself, he's saying, we're talking about Abraham here? Before Abraham was, I am. Later on in the garden when he's arrested, he'll say, who are you looking for? They'll say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he will say, I am. And the Bible says they fell back on the ground at the power of the declaration of I am. It's a declaration of deity. He's telling them that he is the Messiah, that he is God in the flesh. Before Abraham was, I am. They knew it. I love when people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. And you bring this up and they go, no, he's not claiming to be the Messiah there. Well, look at the next verse, 59. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Going through the midst of them, he passed by. Why did they pick up stones to throw at him if they didn't understand what he was saying? When we want to understand a text, you go back to what the people who heard it understood. They understood that Jesus was making himself out to be God, that we're talking about deity here. So the misconceptions that we could have is we're okay because we are religious. We're okay because we're born into I was baptized in the Methodist church. You might have been baptized in another church. You might have gone to church your whole life. You're okay because of that. Or you're okay because you're religious. I believe that God exists. I go to church on Sunday. I tithe. I'm okay. None of those things make you okay. You have to be a spiritual descendant of Abraham. That is, you would believe. Not religious, but that you believe. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. If you believe God, it will be accounted to you as righteousness. You become a spiritual descendant of Abraham, and that's the only way to have righteousness, right standing with God. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this text. It is powerful, and it helps us to understand whom Jesus is. That he was the one who sat down in the tent way with Abraham. That Abraham rejoiced to see his day and saw it. Father, thank you that we have clarity from your word that it's not about being religious. It's not about being a descendant of someone, what our heritage is. It's about having a relationship with you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you have never committed your life to Christ, if you have never called out upon the name of the Lord, we would love to see you do that today.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive. That's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.